The sermon text is the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 to 26. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Ken is driving home from the hospital, and when he gets there, he is going to have to break the news to his wife and his children, news that he still cannot believe himself. During a doctor visit earlier that day, Ken, who is otherwise young and relatively healthy, was told that his days are numbered by a rare disease. Now, all of Ken's life, his Sunday school teachers and his pastors have been telling him, God is love. God guards and protects his people. Ken has read Psalm 121, which we read before, that says, "The Lord watches over our coming and going both now and forevermore." But what happened today, and this news that he is going to have to tell his family, is making all of that really hard to believe. And now Ken has a choice to make. Jacob, high school junior, is sitting around the campfire with his friends when the booze comes out. Now, Jacob should have been able to guess that this was going to happen. He should have known this was going to happen, and he should have just stayed home. But it's too late. He's here now. Jacob knows what is going to happen to him if he refuses to drink with his friends. He knows that he will be made fun of from now until the day of his graduation, and he will never hear the end of it. And yet he also knows, as harmless as it might seem at his age, it is wrong for him to stay and drink with his friends. And now Jacob has a choice to make. Maggie's boss asks her to go over the books for their little company one last time. Now, this small business has been on thin ice for years, and Maggie knows what is going to happen if she brings back bad news to her boss. It is going to mean the end of her job and the end of the job of all her friends and co-workers who work for that company. Maggie also knows that there is a way, a certain way, that she can bring back better news for her boss, news that will keep the business afloat for one more year and keep her friends employed at least for a little while longer. The only problem is it's going to require a little bit of creativity with the books. And it's the kind of creativity that isn't exactly, you know, legal, and it's definitely not honest. And now Maggie has a choice to make. Jesus Christ is walking along with his disciples when he tells them that the time is drawing near, that it is almost time for Jesus to go to Jerusalem and suffer. It is almost time for Jesus to go to the cross. And one of Jesus' followers, St. Peter, says, "No, that will not happen. There must be no cross for the Son of God." And now Jesus Christ has a choice to make: cross or no cross. As Ken drives home from the hospital, he really has that same choice. He can choose cross or no cross. Because if Ken just lets go of the idea that God loves him, that God cares about him and watches over him, then He will not have to live the rest of his days in this world with a spiritual turmoil and struggle of believing that there is a loving God who would still allow him to get ill. He can choose no cross, or he can choose the cross. He can choose to cling to the truth that God is love, that God does care about him, and then spend the rest of his days struggling with how that can be true, to live with that turmoil in his soul. He can choose cross or no cross. Jacob, the high school kid by the campfire, he can choose cross or no cross. He can refuse to drink with his friends and suffer the cross of ridicule and gossip that will come his way if he does what is right. Or he can choose no cross. He can choose to stay there and be like everybody else and act like everybody else. He can choose cross or no cross. Maggie, sitting in her office, can choose cross or no cross. She can choose to be honest. And as hard as it will be, she can go to her boss and say, "Look, I'm sorry, but it's over." And then watch her friends clean out their desks. She can choose that cross for being honest, or she can choose no cross. She can choose to get creative and keep the company going for one more year, even though it requires dishonesty. She can choose cross or no cross. The cross in a Christian's life is any time that he must suffer for believing what is true or for doing what is right. And it might seem very trivial to compare the cross of Jacob by the campfire or Maggie in her office to the cross of Jesus Christ. And it might even seem a little bit petty to compare the cross of terminally ill Ken to the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is true that no cross in the life of any Christian can ever compare to Jesus when it comes to size, to the amount of suffering. But it is also true that our crosses, all of them, do have this in common with Jesus' cross. They will cause suffering if they are not avoided. Now, when St. Peter presents that choice to Jesus of cross or no cross, Jesus chooses the cross. He chooses the cross unmistakably, and he chooses the cross emphatically. He chooses the cross so emphatically that he calls Peter Satan for suggesting that he not go to the cross. It is hard to get much more emphatic in a decision than that. And Jesus chooses the cross, and he chooses it so strongly because he knows what the cross means. He knows that his heavenly Father is going to use that cross to work forgiveness for me, for you, for every member of the human race that Jesus loves so much. And Jesus knows that at the end of that cross, there is a glorious resurrection waiting for him. And after that glorious resurrection, there will be an ascension into the glory of heaven, where he will live forever with his saints, with everyone who trusts in his saving work. Jesus chooses the cross because he knows what the cross means. It means glory for him, and it means glory for everyone who trusts in him. God used the cross of Jesus Christ to bring glory, and he uses the crosses in Christians' lives the same way. Because when the time comes that a Christian must suffer for believing what is true or for doing what is right, they learn to lean on God. They look back to God and to his gracious promises. When they do that, their faith grows. And in the end, through that faith, they find glory. They find the glory of heaven at their Savior's side. God uses crosses to give glory. That is how he used Jesus' cross, and that is how he uses all of the crosses in our lives too. And so the proper Christian way to view these crosses is to embrace them, to take them up willingly with solemn joy and even thanksgiving, because we know how God uses them. You know, that right way to look at crosses is not the way that Jesus' people often look at crosses. Take St. Peter, for example. Peter was looking for Jesus to find glory in political power or earthly fame. But that's where the world finds glory, not God. That's why Jesus says to Peter, "You have in mind the things of men." It is the world that looks for glory in wealth and power and fame, not God. God gives glory through crosses. St. Peter forgot that, and it is really easy for us to forget that too. How easy it is for us, even as Jesus' people, to see these crosses that come into our lives as something that we want to avoid at all costs, to see them as something toxic. It is so easy to think that way, and it is also so dangerous, because Jesus means what he says. If anyone would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We must take them up, Jesus says. Not optional. When the time comes in our lives when we have to suffer for believing what is true, what is doing what is right, we must do it. And if we don't, we can't really call ourselves followers of Christ, who is the ultimate cross bearer. So let's go back to Ken driving home from the hospital. If he is to follow Jesus Christ to the end, Ken must take up his cross. He must keep believing what is true, that yes, God does love him. And for reasons that he does not understand, God is calling this time the right time to take Ken home to heaven. He must cling to that truth, even though it is going to bring pain and struggling to his soul. He must pick up his cross and follow Christ. Go back to Jacob by the campfire. If he is to be a follower of Christ, he must take up the cross of ridicule for doing what is right. Or Maggie, sitting in front of the books in her office, she must take up the cross for being honest and upright in her work. And so must we. Now, those three Christians, when they take up their crosses, will find glory in the end. And so will we. Now, we Christians can, and we will, view our crosses the right way, and we will willingly take them up and follow Christ, because when God brought us to faith in Jesus, he made us entirely new beings. He made us a whole new creation. St. Paul says, the old has gone, the new has come. When God brought us to faith in our Savior, he gave us a brand new set of eyes. Eyes that do not look for glory where the world does, in wealth, fame, or power, but eyes that find glory where Jesus did, in the cross. Eyes that pick those crosses up and follow our Savior. So, the next time you find yourself in a position like Ken, driving home from the hospital, or Jacob around the campfire, or Maggie working in her office, continue to believe what is true, and continue to do what is right. Embrace your cross, pick it up, and follow Jesus to glory. Amen.